The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through JW Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and JW Cole Advisors. JW Cole Financial, JW Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here is David Hayes.
Welcome to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win. Of course, that is the metaphor on my coaching and playing days where time is ticking, time is running out. The time to go is now. It's like the fourth quarter, a couple of minutes left, right? The time to go is now. Well, the tax cuts that were passed in 2017 are set to expire at the end of 2025, hence the name 2025, The Final Drive. And in 2026, everything will revert back to the way it was, which you've learned all about during the last 31 podcasts. On today's program, I'm going to talk about real estate. I personally have owned and operated a real estate management company for quite some time. We own over, I don't know how many, well over 120 individual doors, lots of different beds, office buildings, self-storage. I don't talk a lot about this because I like for people to understand that I'm solely focused on the financial planning practice, but I also do have another way to build some wealth. And one of the things is try to avoid paying taxes, especially when you sell. So let's talk about this. Capital gains tax, depreciation, that's recapture tax. That can take a huge bite out of your profits when you sell a rental property. But believe it or not, the tax code in the U.S. offers real estate investors a completely legal way to defer paying tax on the capital gain from an investment property. So we're going to take an in-depth look at something called a 1031 exchange. How does it work? How do you keep all of your sales profits instead of sharing it with the IRS? So a 1031 exchange is used by real estate investors like myself to defer paying capital gains tax and depreciation recapture tax on the sale of investment property. So here's what happens. You might have bought a piece of property for $100,000 and now it's worth $500,000, but you depreciated that, wrote the $100,000 off over time, and maybe your basis is now $50,000. So I sell it for $500,000. I have $50,000 of recapture. That's going to be taxed at a higher rate. And then the other $400,000 is considered a long-term capital gain because I owned it for more than a year. Well, those are both taxed, so I can defer this by doing a 1031 exchange. Some call it a 1031 exchange. Some call it a tax-deferred exchange, like-kind exchange, Starker exchange, or simply a 1031. But regardless of the name, the benefits of a 1031 are all the same. By putting off the tax to a later day, rental property investors all around have more capital than to invest in an income-producing piece of real estate instead of paying federal and state governments. Now, you might be saying to yourself, now, David, you've been telling me not to defer tax into the future on my retirement accounts. Well, that is true, but real estate is different. Remember the show or the episode on stepped-up cost basis? Yes, I remember that. Well, guess what? I can swap until I drop. What does that mean? If I want to keep selling and deferring and deferring and deferring, when I pass away under the current tax law and under the future tax law, unless something drastically changes, then my son, my wife, whoever it is that inherits this, will get a complete stepped up basis, cost basis. They can sell it and pay no capital gains. So that's why the term swap until you drop comes into play all the time when you're doing 1031 exchanges. That is a huge, huge, huge benefit of doing this. Now, there's a lot of rules that you have to follow when it comes to deferring paying tax on real estate through a like-kind exchange. Number one, the sold property and the replacement property must be what they call like-kind property. Now, what's like-kind? Pretty much real estate to real estate is fine. So if I have an office building and I replace it with an apartment complex, that's fine. If I sell a piece of land and then go buy an office building, that's fine as well. You can even exchange into mineral rights. Like if you want to go into oil and gas rights, that is actually a deeded piece of property that you can exchange into. You got to be the same taxpayer. So for instance, if it's in my name, it has to be in my name again. If it's in our, but then you can put someone else's name after the fact on there. That's not a problem. Is it in a S corp, a C corp, a partnership, a limited liability company, or any other type of entity like that, they kind of needs to remain the same. You also have to look at the value. It has to be equal or greater value. So if I sold something for $100,000, I need to buy something for at least $100,000. The other thing, you have to replace the loan. So let's say you own something that's worth $1 million and you owed $500,000 on it. When you exchange into the new property, it has to be at least $1 million and you have to have at least $500,000 of debt. So it is truly that, or you can take on more debt, or it can be a much higher value than that. The other is time limits. There's two time limits to remember when conducting a 1031 tax-free exchange. First is the identification process. When you sell something, you have 45 days to identify what you want to buy. But then you must close within 180 days overall. So 45 days and 180 days. Those are the key numbers. Now, you also can identify multiple properties. There's a bunch of different rules here. You could identify up to three properties. But understand, if you're thinking about doing a 1031 or you want to know more, you'll certainly reach out to us and we connect you with the right people. The other thing is you can't touch the money. So I've had this happen so many times where someone said, yeah, I closed on this rental property. And I mean, I had one guy who literally sold $10 million of property in two tranches, 5 and 5. The first one, he got a check at closing, and then he came to me. And I said, there's nothing you can do about that. But we caught it on the second round, and we were able to do a 1031 and help him out and defer all that tax. And he's 87 years old. Well, when he passes away, the replacement property that he bought, again, will be passed on to his wife at a stepped-up basis. She could sell it, pay no tax. So you can't touch the money. It goes to something called a qualified intermediary, or QI. They're hired. They do all the paperwork. They're basically doing the closing. They take the money, and then when you're ready to purchase the new property, they'll take care of that for you as well. So those are just a few highlights of a 1031 exchange, but you can also do something called a reverse 1031. So you're like, I have my eye on this piece of property. I mean, I want to buy it, but I need to sell this one. You can do it. The timeline has to still work out. I could go buy this piece of property, then go sell the other piece of property, and then basically do an exchange after the fact. That's completely fine, but it has to stay within the same time horizon. A build to suit. I have a situation where I'm going to be building out a bottom floor of my great-grandfather's old grocery store, Hayes Market, in downtown Bloomington, Indiana. And we are going to put some apartments in and some live workspace. Well, that'll probably cost, you know, who knows what. I haven't got the numbers yet. But I could sell something and defer the gain into this build to suit. But I still have to follow the same timeline. I have to do it within 180 days. So all of those rules still apply. So here's the thing I wanted to talk about, because this has come up recently in a situation, is what if I need the cash? Like, how do I get my cake and eat it too? How can I have some cash and do a full exchange? Well, you have to be careful. Something called boot. Boot is where I say to myself, okay, you know what? I'm going to go borrow a bunch of money against this piece of real estate. Loans are never taxed. And then I'm going to do an exchange. And then I'm going to sell it and do an exchange. If you took the loan out with the intention of avoiding tax, that's considered boot, and it would be null and void, and you would have to pay the tax. But what does that really mean? If I think I'm going to sell it in a few years, go ahead and get the loan now. I helped a person do this years ago where we went and got a loan against the real estate, stuck the money aside in the bank. The bank actually secured not just the real estate, but also the money that was in the bank because these folks didn't have a lot of other assets. They sold the property 2.5 years later. I did a full exchange on it, which ended up being about 70% leverage. So they picked up a piece of property and it was borrowed. They levered it up 70%. And then they walked out the door with that loan money that's completely tax-free. So that's one way you can handle it. The other way, you have an office building. You do a full 1031 exchange into a new office building. And then once that's done, you come back around. I would wait at least one tax year, maybe even two, and go borrow against that asset. And then you take money out tax-free. So there's a lot of ways you can still get money and defer all the tax, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to follow the rules and you need to understand that this, once again, is a complicated topic. So if you or anyone that you know would like to talk about how we can help you navigate these complicated issues, please go to, yes, cfci.us and contact us to set up your complimentary call. I've been doing them. I have someone that does these calls for me now, but occasionally I'll do them just to stay sharp and enjoy talking to people. But, or you can give us a call at 812-334-3190. And I promise we will make it happen. Thanks for listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Look forward to the next episode coming up in a week. Have a great one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025, The Final Drive, by going to www.cfci.us and clicking on 2025, The Final Drive.